So it's Maddie back at it again with the B story. And it's been a hot minute, hasn't it, since I've done a podcast review sort of thing. But I've decided, sorry, I'm a little sick, but I've said I'm going to try to get back on it, you know. I'm just so out of sorts right now. I just got back from seeing Midsommar by Ari Aster, and it was so good. I loved Hereditary, and I definitely realized I just said his name wrong, but I loved Hereditary. I thought it was so fun. I thought it was such a cool, different vibe. It was like a different take on horror, and I love when people take the horror genre, and they do something unique with it. You know, I'm so sick and tired of seeing these stupid jump scare movies, and yes, I am referring to Annabelle, which just came out, which I did not very much like at all, but that's for a different day. But I want to talk to you guys about Midsommar. So if you don't know, this is going to be a spoiler review because I'm not going to limit myself on this. This is me, unfiltered, unscripted, and ready to share with you my thoughts on Midsommar. So if you haven't seen it yet, please don't listen. But if you have, keep on listening. This is, you know, it's fun. And I'm going to share with you my thoughts on Midsommar. Okay, so to start off, I absolutely adored this film. I thought it was so much fun. Like, I sat and watched it, and yes, this movie is like it's like 140 minutes. It's long, okay? It's long. Is it slow? Hell yeah. But if you don't mind slowness, which I definitely don't, I kind of like a slow burn. It kind of brings you into the location, brings you into the setting, really makes you feel like you're there. And especially when you're in somewhere as beautiful as this little communal area in Sweden, it felt just hypnotizing. You felt like you were there. And it was the visuals of this film, the cinematography was so beautiful that I mean, it just is so, it's like an integral part of the film, you know? You feel like the location is a character itself at times, because it's so beautiful, but you know there's something wrong with it. You know, coming to this film, I've seen 1970 Wicker Man, and I love it. I love that movie, and when I saw the trailer for Midsommar, I was like, oh, this is kind of similar. I didn't know how similar it was going to be until I actually saw it. So I had an idea where it was going. I knew the whole, you know, communal festival thing was going to end up totally, like, turning into shit by the end, and people were going to die. I was expecting it all. But it was the way this story was told. Felt almost, it was, like, weirdly similar. Almost felt like it was doing an homage. But at the same time, the characters were so different that I could almost look past the fact that the stories had very similar, you know, jumping off points, very similar plots. But I think the aesthetics really separate this film from its predecessors, from Midsommar in 2003 and from the 1970 Wicker Man. But, I mean, I can't help but talk about the similarities. There's a lot. I really thought Florence Pugh, who I loved in, if you ever heard of this movie, it's called Lady Macbeth. I think everyone should go watch it. It's so good. That movie, she was totally, it just really made me love her as an actress. It really made me realize that this girl is so talented. She is A-list material, 100%. She's gorgeous, she's amazing, and in Midsommar, she really gives an outstanding performance. She is perfect for this role, and this role requires a lot for this character. You know, if you don't know, main character of the film, her name is Dani. She's in this relationship with her boyfriend Christian where they're kind of contempt at each other. Like, they both could take or leave each other. I wouldn't call it an abusive relationship in the typical sense, but it's a relationship that is toxic for both of them, where they're not getting anything out of it. There's no love lost there. And I think I read somewhere that the director, Ari Aster, he actually got inspired by, it was like some 1980s romance movies. There's one specific one, I can't think of it right now, but he got inspired by them when writing the film. And, I mean, you can definitely see it. It's, at its core, Midsommar is a breakup film. In its most basic sense. I mean, I look at this film a lot of it as a metaphor for breaking up with someone. And Dani and her boyfriend Christian, they need to break up. You get that sense from the beginning of the film when Christian's with his friends and, you know, they're talking about how he wants to break up with Dani, how, you know, they're not really feeling each other anymore. And then Dani has this tragic event happen, which, I mean, I already warned you guys about the spoiler, but basically her mother and father get killed due to carbon monoxide poisoning due to Dani's sister killing them and herself in sort of a suicide murder sort of thing with carbon monoxide. Now, I know there's a lot of criticism with this family background history, how it was set up, how everything happened, you know, Dani's sister and her parents never really get brought up again, like the details of it never get brought up. And it goes back to trying to relate to the two big themes of the film. One is breaking up with someone, and the other is grief. I don't hate this backstory. Like, I like it because it does give her something interesting. It gives her, like a cornerstone, you know, like an anchor. It gives her that thing to, like, weigh her down. And we know from the opening that she does have mental health issues, and this just makes her spiral. And it's almost so convoluted that I don't mind. Like, if it was any more simple, like, if it was just like, oh, her parents died and her sister, you know, committed suicide. To me, I would be like, oh, I hate that. Like, why would they include that? That's so stupid, you know? You just make her be depressive. You could just do that, just write it in. But because the story is so convoluted, I almost enjoy it more, and I'm happy they kept it in. It's so absurd, to the point where, like, you just are like, alright, yeah, like, I feel bad for her, like, that sucks, like, it's fucking terrible, man. But, you know, I hope you get what I'm saying here. It's like, it's so complicated that it works. If it was any more simple, I be like, trash it. Unnecessary. It'd be like Suspiria, you know, in like the 2018 Suspiria, where like Dakota Fanning, like, they're in the witch school and the fucking the fall of the Berlin Wall or whatever is going on. That, I was like, that's too, like, get that fuck out of it. Like, trash that shit. We don't need that. I like the story about the witches. With this, it's because the backstory is so fucking crazy. I like it. So yeah, like I was saying, sorry, got off on a little tangent. Dani, she's, like, just, you know, she's chill, she's cool, she's depressed. Her and her boyfriend end up staying together, you know, winter turns into summer, and they're still together, and they still, you know, haven't worked on their relationship. They don't love each other, or at least not anymore. They've been together for 4 years at that point, or 3.5, technically, but, like, 4 years and 2 weeks. You'll get it if you watch the movie. But they are still just very, like, filled with so much contempt toward each other that it's sad. It's, like, the fall of a relationship that's not benefiting either one of them, and they really should end it, but they don't have the courage, neither one of them do, to actually finally end it with each other. You know, he feels bad that her family died, and she, you know, she's using him as a support system, and she also feels bad because she's been using him as a support system. So, it's kind of like they both feel so bad about each other's situation that they don't want to break up with each other. They don't want to make their lives better. They want to just keep in this constant state of weakness. And this all culminates in her boyfriend Christian inviting her to go on this trip with him and his friends to a Swedish festival, Midsommar. With his friend who was part of this commune type thing, and she goes, to his friend's dismay. They definitely don't like her, and just the shit goes down. I mean, this movie, it's a slow burn. It is very slow. It's like you get there, you're kind of intrigued, you're enwrapped in this whole, you know, place. It's so beautiful. It's so lush. It's bright. It's colorful. And you're just transported there. And you feel like you're going in time with the characters. You're experiencing the same things as them. And at first you get there and you're like, oh, this is beautiful. This is lovely. It's so lush. It's so nice. You know, everything is so pristine. It's like your idealized commune, if there is such a thing. And, you know, once they get there, they meet up with this couple, Connie and, I honestly can't remember the other guy's name. Connie and, I don't know, it started with an S. Simon, I think. I think it's Simon. And they meet up with them, a British couple who were also invited by another member of the commune. And then the shit starts happening. I mean, it takes like a day, but the first ceremony for the Midsummer Festival, it's a 9-day festival. The first day, two old people come out, and they're kind of like older than 72, so it means time to die, and they go to a cliff, and they jump off, and it's almost in like a funny way, in a weird sense. Like, it's horrifying, it's very disturbing, but it's also like funny, the way they edited it, you know, the sounds and things. My audience in the theater like laughed, and I thought it was humorous in a weird sort of way, and I think that's what the director was trying to get across, that it's like so absurd that it's funny, it's so horrifying that it's a joke. And after that, the shit just hits the fan. Everyone wants to leave, people are freaking out, and honestly my reaction to it was probably the boyfriend's, where he was like, it's their culture, I mean, you can't really blame them, like, that's what I would be thinking if I was in her situation. I'd be like, I know it's bad, but, like, maybe it's their culture, like, you just gotta accept it, because they kind of willingly jump off a cliff, so, and what you gonna do? But things just get weirder and weirder as it goes. One of the members of the group, one of the friends, he's, like, a total dick, and he's literally the comic relief. He's so funny. He is one of the best parts about this film at the beginning, because, you know, like I said, the film, it takes a while to get to, like, a good spot where it's, like, the story's moving along at a good pace. He kind of breaks the kind of nothingness with the humor, with the jokes, and it kind of works. Like, it works for me. I thought he was a great part of the film. I thought he was a great addition for it. Sorry, just had to get a drink. But it was really great. He was fun. And he ends up peeing on a ceremonial ancestral tree or whatever. And everyone gets mad at him. And he's just such a fucking dumbass. So he gets murdered. You know, a pretty girl leads him off. And next time we see him, we don't actually see him. We just see someone wearing his face. So, you know, love that Leatherface moment. But yeah, it just insane. From then on, you know, more people get murdered in the group, more people getting hit, more people getting beaten. A lot of the violence, though, and the horror, surprisingly, is off screen. I know, weird for a horror film, right? That's the one criticism I have about this film, is I wish the disturbing imagery, we got to see more of it, because a lot of the film is this, like, lush, beautiful landscape that, like, I wish we got to see more of that contrast, where it's, like, this lush, beautiful place is hiding this violence. You know, these beautiful, happy people who are smiling and having fun, you know, they're really this, like, sick, twisted group, and I'd love to get to see that. I know a lot of the horror comes in the fact that it's, like, they do have bright, smiling faces, and behind closed doors, they're doing all this evil shit. I just wanted to see a little bit, and, like, there's certain, like, things that happen. The couple that we meet in the beginning, they both get murdered, and the way the one guy, Simon, he gets killed is, apparently, found this out on some video on YouTube, it's, like, calling back a certain Viking medieval torture device that was, like, you know, the victim was still alive, and, you know, their back was all skinned up, and, like, their intestines were out, and all this shit, but, like, I, this is gonna sound so weird, but I wish we could have seen, like, that process, even a little bit, Because, I don't know, it's, I guess it's, the imagery is disturbing enough, but I just think it could have added more of that horror element, and I think that's what the film was missing a bit, was that little bit extra horror. Like, I wanted to see more. I wanted to see more of that. I think we got so much of this beautiful, bright landscape that you needed a contrast, is what I'm trying to say. You need a juxtaposition to wake you up, and you got it once in a while. There's a specific part where Dani, she's having a dream, and you get this really cool, disturbing imagery. You know, she's remembering when the people fell off the cliff and their faces and how mashed they were, and it's like it goes from like this beautiful like landscape to, you know, dead body. You know, like that's, to me, that's like great because you got this like weird contrast and it was scary and it's gross and disturbing, but it also felt like a horror. With this film, it was marketed as a horror movie, but I would not call this a horror. I'd call it a thriller. I'd call it like a slow burn type. Like, have you ever seen The Witch or The Witch with Anya Taylor-Joy? That's what this reminded me of a lot, where it's like a slow burn that like you can't like technically, like you can call it a horror movie, but it's less horror, more disturbing. You know, you're not going to get a jump scare in this film. You're going to get, like, really gross imagery. Kind of like again, I'm going to bring up Suspiria again, the 2018 version, where it's, like, it wasn't horror in the sense where it was, like, bah, like, I got you. It's not like an It, where, like, It is more based on, like, jump scares. It's more of, you know, seeing a body all mangled. That is, like, what I'm talking about with this film. And there wasn't enough of that. I wanted more. It was too much of the bright sunshininess. But I digress. As the film goes, Dani becomes more intertwined in the customs and into the relations. She becomes the May Queen. Or the May... I think it's the May Queen. After winning a competition, she kind of... I don't know, like... adopts or just becomes part of the family after she has this talk with the guy who invited Aldo here. You know, they both share the fact that they both lost their parents, and he tells her that, you know, he found his family in the community, and I think she really takes on to that. And Christian, he starts getting seduced by this redheaded lady in the tribe, in the commune, and they end up having sex in this really weird ceremony that Dani ends up catching them in. She spies through a keyhole and she sees them. Sorry, that's my cat if you can hear it. Hey, Blanche. That's my cat's name. So she spies on them through a keyhole. She sees them. It's insane. And it's like she totally loses it. He ends up, I guess we can assume he impregnated the girl. But we don't know, because right afterwards, it's time for the sacrifice. And the sacrifice requires 9 individuals from the camp from the commune and people from the outside. So all the people, all the friends that they killed, the couple, all the people that Dani came with. And then she has the option to choose between her boyfriend and one of the members of the commune as the last victim or sacrifice. And, you know, for a second, I actually thought she was going to choose, like, the other guy, and I thought she was going to let her boyfriend, like, go free. Like, I thought she was going to come to her senses, but nope. Did not happen. Instead, zip, boom, boom, he gets thrown into not a live bear, but, like, they skin a bear, and they put it on him, and put him in this hut thing with the 9 other bodies, and she burns him, and it is epic. It's insane. It's so, again, it starts absurd and it ends absurd. It's just insane because you see at the end, like, it lingers on her face and she gets this really creepy smile and she goes through these emotions, but it ends on that smile and you just know that this is her home now. Like, this is it. You know, this is where she was meant to be and she's gonna stay there forever. But I felt like looking at this film as a metaphor for a breakup, you know? You finally get the courage to leave them and then burn all their things in a really sick way, if that makes sense. Like, the ending when she burns the sacrifices, it it's like a hyper, extended version of like burning your ex's things when they leave or when you break up with them. And it's like she catches them cheating. Like, when you look at this film and you take away like the festival and the commune and like the deaths and the killing, it does become like a breakup narrative where it's like they go, this unhappy couple goes to on vacation together, he cheats on her, she finds out, she breaks up with him, and then she burns his things. Well, him being one of those things. But yeah, I thought this film was really cool in that sense. I love the metaphor, I love the ideas of it. And that's kind of all I have to say about Midsommar. It's not that much, not too little. I really highly recommend this to anyone who wants to go see a really fun, weird movie this summer. I think that the visuals are great. I think that the acting is incredible. And I actually like this film, I think, a little more than Hereditary. And I know some people are gonna come for me. I'm gonna get, flayed or something for saying that, but I mean, I just gotta be honest. I think that Midsommar is a great horror film, and I can't wait to see what this director does next. Thanks, guys. This was Maddie from the Bee Story. Catching you later.